Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We've already dealt with one Purvapaksha that proposed that there's no need to have a separate energy, a separate mode of expression called Vyanjana, since Tatparya can do the work of Vyanjana. And we show that it can't, because Tatparya can only pertain to a whole sentence, at least a sentence, whereas Vyanjana can be of a word and even part of a word. Now we have, again, some other attempts to do away with Vyanjana. One is that Abhida, literal meaning, can do all the work. There's a proposal. The statement is, of the Purvapaksha, so yam ishuriva dirgo bidavyapada. The action accomplished by direct meaning, literal meaning, is very penetrating, very far penetrating, just like the action of an arrow. Just like an arrow shot from a bow can go very far and pierce the target from a distance. So why not just presume that literal meaning carries out all the work of figurative expression and suggestion? Well, okay. We have to ask the person who proposed this, what are you meaning to do away with? Are you saying that there's only Abhida and there's no need at all for a separate separate lakshana vritti, lakshana function, and also no separate vyanjana function? In that case, what do you do when you have the expression village on the Ganga? Because the literal meaning, the name of the river, runs into trouble. You can't have literally a village on the river. And if we don't have a separate function, and once you've expressed the literal meaning, Abhida Vritti is used up. It's not available anymore. You can't use it again to mean something else. If it means the name of the river, that's it. That's the literal meaning. It's not also the shore. So you can't express the idea of the shore with just Abhida Vritti. So, okay, suppose you say, Abhida Vritti can be there, but there's no need for Vyanjana. There's no need for a separate suggestive power. All right. Then let's look at that example about the young girl drinking up the news that her husband has been sent to Mathura for the day, drinking it up with the cups of her ears. Okay, you're allowing us to use lakshana potency to figuratively say that drinking isn't really literally drinking, the ears are not really cups. So it just means hearing with great adara, with great concern, with great interest. Hearing with great interest. Hearing very attentively is what's figurative meaning. Okay, that's allowed. But, okay, then the lakshana vritti is used to express that. It's used up. It's not available to further say anything about the house being empty. How are you going to get that idea? So that defeats the idea that Abhida Vritti can do all the work. It can't. You need the other two potencies also. Now, another attempt to get rid of vyanjana is made. Can't the meaning be deduced by logical inference? Can't logic do the work? So what do you need a vyanjana power? And like we can argue like this, we can give the following logical argument. We have the statement that this being said, it being announced by the elder lady, Jatila, that the girl's husband is not going to be home that day, he's going to Mathura, and the girl drinks that news up with the cups of her ears. So the argument can be given that we can deduce that the girl is very eager to hear that her husband isn't going to be home. And the logical reason is because she's eager to hear that her husband, I'm sorry. Because she's eager to hear the news from the elderly lady that the husband's going away that day. If she wasn't desiring that the house be empty, she wouldn't be very attentive or eager to hear that her husband's going away. Like some other lady who doesn't have any real purpose in her husband going away, she won't be that fascinated by the idea that her husband's going to mutter for the day. She would just say, so what? You know, who's going to milk the cow? So that's a counterexample. A lady who's not wanting the house to be empty so that Krishna can come is not going to be eager to hear that her husband's going away for the day, like the example of some other lady who may hear this news, but it doesn't fascinate her. When you give a logical, we haven't studied Nyaya, but when you give a proper logical argument, you should always give an example to make it concrete. Otherwise, you can argue that all square triangles are pink. And according to theoretical logic, modern logic, it's true. It's valid argument. If you have a square triangle, it has to be pink, because you don't have any square triangles that aren't pink. There's no counterexample. But we have, in the Nyaya system, we try to make it concrete. Such ridiculous arguments are not allowed. You have to give an example. Give me an example of a square triangle that is pink. All square triangles are pink, like the one in the corner here. If you can give an example, then you can have an argument. If you can't give an example, forget it. It's not an admissible argument. But sometimes you can't give a positive example, but you can give a negative example. There are positive examples and negative examples. Like wherever there is smoke, there is fire. Like in the kitchen. And unlike the middle of the lake, where there's no fire and also no smoke. So that's a positive and negative example. Your argument is strongest if you can give both. But sometimes you can't give a positive example because the case in question is the only case. And there's no similar other cases. So all you can do is give a negative example. That's allowable, but it's not as strong an argument. So here we've given only a negative example. And we turn the logic around. This lady is wanting, we know that this lady wants the house empty for Krishna to come because she's eager to hear that her husband's going to be away for the day. If she didn't want the house to be empty, she would not be eager to hear that, just like some other lady who hears it but isn't very excited about it. Well, okay, and there are examples of other ladies whose husbands are away from the day, and they're not excited about it because they're not wanting Krishna to come visit them in secret. That's the logic, supposedly. But there is difficulty with that logic. The reason is it has the fault of what's called a siddhi. The reason isn't necessarily true. That somebody who is eager, with great interest hears that the husband's going to be away, doesn't necessarily mean that you want the house to be empty for Krishna to come. There could be some other reason. Maybe the husband's going to go buy her some present in Mathura, and she's glad to hear that he's going to Mathura to go to get her a new sari. It could be a different reason. The reason is not siddha. It's not necessarily so that someone's being eager to hear that the husband's going away means that she wants the house empty. So that logic fails for that reason. Other reasons also. Now, an attempt may be made to refine the argument, to add some conditions to it, to make it tighter. Like this. If I can get this right. That actually what we're trying to prove, the thesis, that we're trying to prove, is not exactly just that she wants the house to be empty. But she wants the house to be empty, and then she wants Krishna to come and visit her. That's what we're trying to prove. Well, how do you prove that? And a reasoning is given that this young lady must be wanting Krishna to come visit her in the empty house, because it being so that she eagerly heard the news of the husband's absence from her mother-in-law, she showed eagerness that the house be empty or be absent, the husband be absent from the house. The reason for her wanting this logic is also, even though it's a little more elaborated and supposedly tighter argument, it still is faulty. Because the reason is supposed to be that she's eager that the house be... The reason is that she's eager that the house be empty. And what that's supposed to prove is that she wants Krishna to come visit. But it's not always so. She may be eager to hear that the house is empty for some other reason. And if you say, well, the context of the story will settle the question, we still have problems. We're going to be stuck with circular reasoning, where you're trying to prove something by the fact of something that has to be proven by what you're proving. So anyway, the logic just fails there. I'm sorry if I didn't get it exactly right, but anyway, there's so many faults in the logic. Okay, these opponents are trying to propose that we can explain things without having a special potency called Vyanjana, that somehow or other, some other potency can do the job. We don't need a special potency of just suggestion. But look at this example, a verse that's loaded with suggestions. How are you going to explain it? Here's the verse. He ayam, this is also Prakrit, he ayam che a anachom manam sini na unamode angam alinganti panyanam nahara Padir vi am kon hom. You understand? No? Okay, I'll read the Sanskrit. Sanskrit translation. That's Prakrit. Shauta Saini Prakrit. Spoken by the gopis. Vidayam chayv anacham manasvini na punas tengam alinganti padanam nakara patibimbitam krishnam
Kanham
in Prakrit, Krishnam. Well, that means, okay, my dear proud girl, or angry girl. Manasvini means mana, she's angry. This is actually one gopi talking to Radharani. My dear angry girl, your heart is not clear, your intelligence isn't clear. And your limbs are not embracing the reflection of Krishna on your toenails. How come? You know, what's wrong with you? Is your head on straight? How come Krishna's right here standing next to you, so close that his body is being reflected on your polished toenails, and you're failing to take the opportunity to embrace him? This is the question. So what's going on here? Krishna's body is being reflected on the toenails, but there's no talk about his shadow being cast on the rest of her body or anything like that, because she's so angry that she's covered up her entire body and only her toenails are showing. This is implied. This is suggested. And she doesn't even notice that Krishna is standing right next to her. That suggests that she's closed her eyes out of anger. Otherwise, if Krishna was right there by her feet, there's no way she could not see him. But she's not seeing him. She must have closed her eyes, therefore. That is suggested. And it's also suggested that subsequent to hearing this statement, she must have reacted now her girlfriend just told her, Krishna is standing right next to you. So, we can presume that it suggested that she gets very agitated. Radharani gets agitated. She pulls her feet back. And after that, it just blows away her anger. She's not angry anymore. And also, it's also suggested, the situation was that Krishna is standing right next to her, but he didn't dare to touch her because he was so scared by her anger that even coming that close to her, he wouldn't touch her. He just was incapable of touching her because he was so affected by her anger. This is suggested, and that's not all. It's suggested by the way this was said that this girlfriend is on Krishna's side. She's speaking for Krishna on his behalf. And that she's making a great endeavor to dispel Radharani's anger. You know, her statement it's obviously suggested that that's what she's trying to do by this statement. So these are little snippets of parts of the story, you know, adding to the drama. A lot of suggestions here. I didn't count them, maybe 6 or 7. Now, if we don't assume that there is a Vyanjana Vritti doing all this suggesting, then you're going to have to propose a lot of logic. You know, you had to go to such a complicated extreme to try to explain the logic of how to determine logically that one suggestion is there. What are you going to do with these 7 or 8 suggestions? It would be much simpler just to allow that there is a Vyanjana Vritti and it does the suggesting than to get into complicated explanations trying to avoid Vyanjana, especially when you have a verse that's just packed with suggestion on top of suggestion. Yes.
Why is only the toenails visible? I didn't understand. How is that suggested? I mean,
because in her anger, she's just hiding herself out of anger. She's so angry that she just covered herself, you know, whether chadar or whatever, completely. None of her limbs are showing. Only her toenails are sticking out. Because otherwise, Krishna, his shadow would have shown on the rest of her body. Yes.
Can it mean also that she covered not only her body but also her face, and because of that she cannot see her
Krishna? But it says here, what Kavi Kanapur says, she closed her eyes.
Closed her eyes.
Okay. All right. Anyway, we're just trying. This was just for the purpose of showing the practicality of allowing a separate mode of expression called Vyanjana. Especially when we're dealing with complicated poetry that's full of suggestions, it's the best way to explain where they come from. Otherwise, it gets much too complicated to try to explain it in terms of other potencies. Okay. Now, we have been talking about individual words expressing the Vyanjana. The Vyanjana residing in an individual word, like Gangayam Gosha. There, it makes the use of the word Ganga makes the big difference. It's suggested that the shore, by figurative usage, by Lakshana, we know that Ganga really means the shore of the river. But the suggestion is that the village on that shore is in a very, the environment is very cool and sacred, because those are qualities of the Ganga itself. The environment of the Ganga. That is the suggestion. Now that depends on the word Ganga. If I just said Nadyam Goshaha, basically roughly the same idea, but I don't say Ganga, I say just on the river. I say village on the river. It could work similarly. I could get the same figurative meaning that it's the shore of the river, but because I haven't specifically used the word Ganga, I lose the suggestion of the coolness and the sanctity just by saying only river. So this suggestion is dependent on the particular word. The word itself, the word, individual word is generating the Vyanjana. But there are other cases where it's not dependent on a particular word. You could even change the words, but it's the basic, it's the idea of the whole statement that generates the whole, it's the idea of the meaning rather than the particular word that generates the suggestion. And you can prove that when you can change the word and still get the suggestion. If you can't get away with changing the word, if changing the word ruins the suggestion, then the suggestion is dependent on the word. But if you could switch words for a synonym or an equivalent word and still have the same suggestion, then the suggestion is based not on the word but on the meaning of the word. Okay, so those are two different sources of suggestion. It can come from the word, or it can come from the meaning of the word, or the meaning of a whole sentence, or part of a sentence. Now, meaning, there are different kinds of meaning. What kinds of meaning do we know about? The meaning can create a Vyanjana, but we already studied about different kinds of meaning. Which? No, not that. That's derivation. That's the origin of the meaning of a word. No, it's the three modes. The Abhida, Lakshana. Abhida, Lakshana, and Vyanjana are three modes of creating meaning, but they create three different kinds of meaning. There's the literal meaning, the figurative meaning, and the suggested meaning. So suggestion can be created by all three kinds. If it can be created by meaning, then it can be created by all different three kinds of meanings. A literal meaning can create a suggestion, a figurative meaning can create a suggestion, and a suggested meaning can create another suggestion. Well, okay, let's have some examples of that. Okay, again in Prakrit. Ajje gara karani jam sad sabam Nitwa hidom je ba enahin samasanatham jauna in sina enam adisadu. Meaning? Sanskrit. Arye griha karaniyam sarvam nirvahitam eva idanim shamanartam yamunayam snanam samadishyatam. My dear respected elderly lady, now the housework is all finished. It's all been carried out. I've done all the work. So please order me so that I can get some relief from my fatigue. Please order me to go take bath in the Jumuna. That's the statement. What's suggested there? Well, see, suggestion is going to be made by the whole idea. Let's analyze the idea of what's being said. Paraphrase is, that's the translation. The suggestion is that now I've got a good excuse, without any anxiety, I can take permission and go take bath in the Jamuna, and there I can get a glimpse of Krishna playing on the shore. And that's where I want to take my relaxation, sitting on the shore watching Krishna playing. Now, this is suggested by what? Is it suggested by any particular word? No. Why? What does that have to do with Jamuna? Because Jamuna, the meaning, which meaning? Which kind of meaning? The meaning of the whole verse, but which one of the three kinds of meaning? What's the vyanjana that's creating another vyanjana? What's the first vyanjana? I didn't hear about two vyanjanas here. I only heard about one. There's a created vyanjana. I didn't hear about a previous vyanjana that's before it. It's actually the literal meaning. Just the literal idea of what's being said is making the suggestion, is creating the suggestion. That she's saying, okay, work's done, I'm tired, why don't you tell me to go take bath in the Jamuna? And the suggested idea is, if I can do that, then I can see Krishna and really relax. So the literal meaning of the statement is making the suggestion of what she really has in mind. Okay, here's an example of a figurative meaning doing the expressing. Well, that's the verse we've already used as an example. Jatila has announced that your husband is going to Mathura for the day on business. So the fact that Abhimanyu is going to Mathura for the day, that doesn't suggest anything directly. But the phrase drinks with the cups of her ears. Now, none of that makes the direct suggestion of anything, but when we take the phrase drinks with the cups of the ears and understand the figurative meaning of that, that she's very eager to hear it, she's excited to hear it, that figurative meaning, that figurative idea makes the suggestion that she wants the house to be empty so that Krishna can come visit her. So there's an idea, a part of the story, being suggested by a figurative meaning. The figurative meaning of drinking up with the cups of the ears. Okay, how does a suggested meaning suggest another suggestion? Here's an example. Another Prakrit verse. Ido Vrindavana Modye Nisankani Sitamo Rama Ani Aro Ali Metu Betu Kusamo Ramani Jo Jamuno Kunjo. Sanskrit Iha Vrindavana Modye Nikshanka Nisupda mayura mriganikarak alimatra bukta kusamo vamaniyo yamuna kunjaha. So the literal meaning is, here in the midst of the Vrindavan forest, all of the peacocks and the wild animals are sleeping without any anxiety. The bees, the flowers are not being enjoyed by anybody but the bees. This grove on the shore of the Jamuna is a fit place for enjoyment. So, what's being suggested here? What, I'm sorry? Yeah, Nirjanatvam. The first suggestion is that the place is there's nobody there. It's a what do you call? Not desolate, but anyway, it's Nirjana. There's nobody around. No crowds. That's not, you know, this is Vrindavan 5,000 years ago, not today. Sorry. Yes? Well, this is the first suggestion is that it's secluded. That's the first suggestion you get from the from hearing the verse, from the idea. But that first suggestion makes a second suggestion that this is a good place to arrange a meeting with Krishna because it's secluded. So one suggestion is suggesting another. And the first suggestion is an idea, it's suggesting another suggestion. I'm sorry, the first suggestion was created from an idea, from the idea, the literal idea. So, the final conclusion is, the final suggestion is, my dear girlfriend, why don't you arrange to bring Krishna here? Okay, that is pretty much the proper place to split. The topic changes after this. So I think we'll stop with that. Any questions about it? Yes?
So here the literal meaning creates a suggestion. And what is the difference between the suggestion creating a suggestion and the suggestive meaning creating a suggestion?
Well, suggestions have to come from somewhere. They don't fall out of the sky. Suggestions, you always start with a literal meaning. Every figurative meaning has to be based on a literal meaning. And every suggested meaning has to be based on either a literal, or it has to be based on some, originally on a literal meaning. Every meaning has to have a literal meaning underneath it. So the presence of the literal meaning doesn't make any difference. It's always there. In any meaning, suggested or figurative or anything, has to have a literal meaning underpinning it. But the fact that you have a suggestion and then another suggestion on top of the suggestion, that makes it special. That actually makes it uttama kavya. It makes it super excellent poetry. That suggestion is further echoing into reverberations on top of reverberations. So in this case, we analyze it as suggestion, rather the suggested idea creating another suggestion. We don't say, oh, it's a literal idea creating it, because literal ideas are always there. It's when only the literal idea is there, and there's no figurative or suggestion on top of it, except that, I'm sorry, the literal idea creates a suggestion, but directly, without a figurative idea in between. Then we analyze it, literal idea creating a suggestion. But here we analyze it as figurative suggested idea creating another suggestion.
So this is the same as what we discussed in the first chapter about the end, that uttamottama kavya.
Yes.
The same thing.
Yes, this is what defines uttamottama kavya. So it was mentioned there, but here we're actually defining and analyzing it. Anything else? Yes. That was from before. Well, there's actually two different parts of it. Oh, going back to that. Okay, let me find the page. 31st. Okay. Well, it's really just saying that the Lakshana power, which, like the Lakshana power that takes the word Ganga and translates it into shore of the river. That Lakshana power is used up by creating the meaning shore. It can't be used again to create the suggestion of coolness and sanctity. Although, yes, we say that this figurative meaning creates the fruit. It has a prayojana. That prayojana is the suggestion. But the suggestion can't be produced just by the lakshana. The lakshana power is already used up. There has to come in another power to make the suggestion. And the argument given is that there are two different things. There's the object of knowledge, the thing that you're knowing, and there's the fruit of knowledge. The object of knowledge is, in this case, of the lakshana knowledge, the idea understood by lakshana, is the idea of the shore of the river. That's the vishaya of the jnana. But the phalam, the prayojana of the jnanam, is something else. That's the idea of the coolness and sanctity. But those are two different ideas. And the lakshana power can't create both. It's already used up when it creates just the idea of tira. Sure. Okay. Well, let's say like this. A figurative meaning, a meaning created by figurative usage, even if it has a further fruit, can't generate that fruit just by the power of figurative expression. You know, the figurative meaning, the shore, has been created by the power of figurative expression. It doesn't have any more of that power to additionally do the suggesting. Okay, you want it again? A figurative meaning that has a fruit can't generate that fruit just by the power of figurative expression. Because that power has already been used up. You know, the power of figurative expression puts in your mind the vishaya, the idea of the shore. But the further consequence, the additional idea of the coolness and sanctity, that has to be put in your mind by some other power, because that figurative power has already used itself up. Prayojana means the vyanjana, the suggestion. The prayojana of a lakshana would be a suggestion, a vyanjana. Prayojana viti lakshana is lakshana that leads to a dwani, to a vyanjana. It's purposeful in the context of poetry, because in poetry, what we're always aiming at is vyanjana. That's what gives life to poetry. So words are really serving poetic purpose when they have poetic prayojana when they create vyanjana. When they don't, then it's not really alive as poetry. That's the difference between prose and poetry. When Jiva Goswami talking in his vritti, you know, on some shloka in the sandarbhas, he's talking in commentary language. He's not trying to, sometimes he does, he plays with words a little bit, but he's not trying to make poetry out of it and, you know, suggest all sorts of, you know, wild ideas in your head. He's just trying to get an idea across, a philosophical idea across, and do it straightforward. Vyanjanas will just get in the way. You know, he starts making suggestions and you got 100 different ideas in your head. You know, that you're confused enough just trying to follow the sentence. You don't need a pile of vyanjanas to confuse the matter even further. So in the sandarbhas, Jiva Goswami avoids poetic language. It's cut and dry. It's commentary language. The same Jiva Goswami, when he's writing Gopal Champu, then he's writing poetry, and it's full of Yanjana. Yes.
Second type of Yanjana which arises from the figurative meaning is
from the which?
From the figurative meaning.
Okay.
So any kind of figurative meaning gives rise or
no? No, it has to have a special, it has to be Prayojanavati.
Yeah, Prayojanavati, inside Prayojanavati. Like we saw the example consisting only of the comparisons, like the Rupaka or Upama. So is that restricted to these two way of...
No, not restricted.
But so we haven't studied the varieties of...
This villager is a bull. Okay?
That's also a comparison. It's
but
a
they're... Ghee is life. Okay? Ghee is long life. Meaning that ghee is the cause of long life. So there can be understood a suggestion there. Why don't you go out and buy some ghee? And actually we have some ghee for you right here. We can sell it to you. So... You know, it's an advertisement. Ghee is long life. That's suggesting buy ghee. The relationship is a relationship of cause and effect, not of similarity. It's shuddha lakshana, but that lakshana, you can understand it in a certain context as creating the vyanjana of another idea. You know, there's a purpose for saying ghee is long life. You know, the doctor is trying to convince the patients to go out and buy ghee. And, you know, he gets a commission from the shop that sells the ghee.
So, there can be different varieties by which the same lakshana can be produced. And as long as it is a prayojanavati, it will raise a suggestion.
Well, that's just by definition. A lakshana that creates suggestion is called prayojanavati. A lakshana that doesn't is not. Well, okay. Yeah, that's it. I mean, you can have lakshanas that don't create any vyanjana. Even. Well, that's conventional, but even. Lakshanas that are newly created, that aren't conventional, still may have not been created very poetically, and they don't suggest anything. They're clever use of words that figuratively say something, but don't suggest anything. So it's that conventional figurative usage can't create any vyanjana. Other figurative usage can create vyanjana, but not necessarily. It has to be in the hands of an expert poet. You know, a third-rate writer will use fancy words, but won't create any poetry. He won't suggest anything. Even though he's doing something novel, original, but it's just word jugglery. Okay, so it's potentially Prayojanavati, but the poet, you know, dropped the ball and, you know, he blew it and he didn't create any real suggestion. Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Sri Kavi Karnapur Ki Jai.